Yeah, first of all, welcome back, everybody. I hope everyone enjoyed Yom Tov. Nothing better to do between Pesach and Shavuos than to get ready for Zman Matan Torah Seinus. Of course, the way to do that is through Limud HaTorah together. So I want to begin, really, in a sense, a series of shiurim which deal with a very timely topic, a topic that's togel l'maaseh for many of us, and that is the entire institution, the notion of what we call colloquially making early Shabbos. Many of us have the practice of making early Shabbos, particularly starting this time of the year, the spring and the summertime. And the making of early Shabbos really is a whole world of halach and impacts and so many different aspects, some related directly to Shabbos and Uchaz Yom Tov, some related to Uchaz Tefillah, other areas of halachas. So I know we kind of spend a little bit of time over the next couple of shiurim discussing the intricacies of this particular concept in halacha called the early Shabbos. So before we can discuss some of the challenges and the obstacles involved, some of the hurdles that we have to overcome in terms of the quote-unquote making the early Shabbos model, we have to ask ourselves, why are we doing this in the first place? Now, I don't mean the question of why we're doing it for convenience reasons, that we want to go to sleep a little bit earlier, we want our kids to be up for the tzedus, which are all, very nice and maybe justified reasons. But I want to know from a pure halachic vantage point, is there anything to be gained by what we're doing? Or are we almost kind of doing something shieldy, just for the purpose of convenience, that's opening up an entire world of hurdles and challenges in halachos? Is there any real positive thing to be gained by the making of the early Shabbos from a pure halachic vantage point? So this thing really touches upon a general question, and that is the mitzvah, or we'll see as we go on, perhaps the lack thereof, according to some opinions, what's called the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. The notion, the very notion of beginning Shabbos early is a rather a strange concept. After all, the Torah tells us that Shabbos is Shabbos. This is a, the Gemara says at the end of Masechet Pesachim that when we daven on Shabbos, we daven on Yom Tov, so the Nuscha Bracha is very different. On Yom Tov, we say, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, because first we acknowledge the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, and then we speak about Zmanim, because it's only through Klal Yisrael that Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov come into existence. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadesh us, and we in turn are Mekadesh the Zmanim. Whereas when it comes to Shabbos, that's not appropriate to say Mekadesh Yisrael via Shabbos, because Klal Yisrael don't make Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Shabbos. Shabbos existed way before, hundreds and thousands of years before there was a Jewish people. Shabbos existed from Maaseh Bereishis. So if Shabbos is something that is declared, decreed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the very notion of our beginning Shabbos early seems to be very, very problematic. So the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tetzav and Aleph discusses this, the first of the Gemara Mekamos, and actually says that not only is it problematic, but it's actually something that should be done. It's actually obligatory, at least according to the simple reading of the Gemara. The Gemara introduces us the notion of the mitzvah, what's called Tosefes Shabbos. The mitzvah Satur, the mitzvah Deoraisa, of actually beginning Shabbos early. The Gemara begins with commenting on a pasuk in Parshas Emor, the Torah says that we begin the fasting on Yom Kippur, we observe the mitzvah of Inuy on Yom Kippur, the 9th day of Tishrei towards the evening, which is a very, very strange phrase, because obviously if the Torah is speaking about Betisha Be'erev, it doesn't mean the night before. It means the night following the end of Tisha L'Chodesh, which is basically the beginning of the 10th day of Nisan, of Tishrei. And we know from many, many other psukim, both in Parsha itself, in that Parsha itself, it says Yom Kippur is on the 10th day of Tishrei. The Torah says it in Parsha Achrei most multiple times that Yom Kippur is on the 10th day. It says it in Parsha Pinchas on the 10th. So it's not really a question what day in the calendar Yom Kippur is on. There was never a shaila what day Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur is the 10th day of Chodesh Tishrei. The problem is that why does this one place in Chumash, this one pasuk, seem to throw a curveball at us and mislead us by presenting that somehow Yom Kippur is not really on the 10th, it's really on the 9th in the evening, which is really the same as the 10th. So what does that mean? The Gemara comments, Yachol B'tisha, I might think they actually begin fasting on the 9th of Tishrei. Tamid Lama Ba'erev. The pasuk says, no, Ba'erev, that it has to be the night. The night following the 9th, which is basically the 10th. Iba Erev Yach Mishadech Shach, if the mitzvah is Ba'erev, namely Motsoi the 9th, i.e. the beginning of the 10th, I might think that you only begin fasting when it really gets dark. Just whoever, just if anyone could just close their computers, just makes a little bit of noise in the background. So Iba Erev Yach Mishadech Shach, So if the Torah says ba'erev, I might think that you have to wait literally till it's dark. Tabit lo betisha, but the same Torah says betisha, which is the ninth. So what is it? Ninth or the tenth? Haketzad. It comes to Gemara and says maschil u'misanem b'biyod yom. The mitzvah of Torah is that you're supposed to begin b'biyod yom. You're supposed to begin fasting from the on the ninth. Malamed shivosifim michol hakodesh. This teaches us that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Kiddush. You have to begin the day b'biyod yom. Ein yal b'chemisasa b'tziyasa b'nayim. I know that you have to begin Yom Kippur early. How do I know you have to end Yom Kippur late? The same pasuk says, you go from Erev to Erev. So just as the first Erev is a little bit early, so to the last Erev is a little bit late. So I know that you have to begin Yom Kippur a little early and end Yom Kippur a little bit late. Shabbosos b'nayim. How do you know the same halacha carries over to Shabbos? Tishbisu. The Torah says Tishbisu is a lashon Shabbos. Yom Tov b'nayim. How do you know for regular Yom Tov also? It says Shabbatchem. Wherever there's a mitzvah of Shabbosot, which includes Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah deraisa to begin early and the mitzvah deraisa to end late. And that is the mitzvah min haTorah of Tosefes Shabbos. So it sounds like it's this Gemara itself in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, which is a great incentive for making early Shabbos. So why not? I can be yotzei such a mitzvah, gevaldik. I can start Shabbos an hour early. So ein lecha mitzvah gedolah mizu. A maskel mechol hakodesh. What could possibly be wrong with this? So the first question we have to ask ourselves is: do we paskin like this halacha altogether? Do we paskin like this sugya? That's a very startling statement to raise. What I mean, do we paskin like? Does the Gemara serious? Yeah, the Gemara is serious. We're going to paskin. We're going to drasha. Is a sugya shleim and Rosh Hashanah daftes. There's a mitzvah in up to Sefer Shabbos. So why would one even question whether we should paskin or not pass like this Gemara? Well, the answer is that every once in a while, there's another sugya in Shas that may throw into question this sugya. Now, if that's the case, then we would have to really, really work hard to analyze, well, which sugya should we paskin like? If we can find another statement in Chazal that seems to disagree with this Gemara, then we would be posed with the challenge. Then we're like, we showed him, we have to decide which sugya to paskin like. So we have two challenges now. We have to first find another sugya, and then if comes along, we find another sugya, then we have to be really, really convinced that the other sugya is going to negate this sugya. If we can't accomplish both of those things, if we can't find another sugya, or even if we do, we have no reason to believe that we reject this sugya, then we are going to be stuck with this mitzvah derais at the sefer. So that's a major machlokes we showed him what our approach to this topic should be. So what was the curveball in the sugya that really throws into question the existence of Tosefes Shabbos? Let's some show up the question whether there even is a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. And again, our entire making Shabbos early, you know, we're used to thinking about the davening challenges and the kiddush challenges and the Siddur Shabbos challenges and the kriyashma challenges and the Sfirsa Oyma challenges. So the half a dozen of issues that come up when you make Shabbos early. So we started the shiur by saying, well, why are we doing it? Sounds like such a silly thing to do. Why should we start Shabbos early and cause all these halachic problems? So we're trying to defend this practice by saying, what do you mean we're doing something wrong? We're doing something right. We're being yaitzei the mitzvah, being mekayem the mitzvah properly of the Sefer Shabbos. So we have to really be convinced that such a mitzvah exists. So the issue that the Rishonim raised in discussing whether we accept this notion of even the mitzvah in the first place of the Sefer Shabbos revolves around a fundamental question that Rishonim have about the mitzvah of the Sefer Shabbos. And that is the question of when. When is the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos? Give me a time on the clock when I'm supposed to be yotzei the mitzvah. So it sounds like very simple. Obviously, Tosefes Shabbos is before Shabbos begins. That's what the very words mean. It's a time that if not for the Chiddush HaTorah of the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, I would have thought it's Friday. Comes the Torah and says, no. You have to be Maisi Bichol HaKadosh. You have to begin Shabbos early, or Yom Kippur. You have to begin Yom Kippur early, and Yom Tov. You have to begin Yom Tov early. So obviously, if the mitzvah Tosefes Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur exists, it must precede the actual beginning of Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur itself. Now we know that it's not 100% clear when any given day in Halacha begins. The reason why it's so confusing is that there is a period in time. That is what's called the Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. The Gemara tells us in the second breath of the second Shabbos that there's a whole window of time that we are just simply not sure what exactly the halakhic status of that time frame is. Is it Yom? Is it Laila? Maybe it has aspects of both. We're not sure exactly what that what the halakhic status of that time is, and that's what's called Ben HaShemashos. It seems pretty clear that even if there wouldn't be a mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, I wouldn't be doing malacha during that time because Safik Deraisa L'chumra. Because whenever I have a doubt in a Torah law, I have to be strict, I have to go L'chumra. So it is obvious that even forgetting about the existence of the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, even if there is no such mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, I can't do malacha on Shabbos. And I can't do malacha on Safik Shabbos. So if there is a mitzvah Tosefta Shabbos, if the Gemara Rosh Hashanah is correct, that there is such a mitzvah, there's such a drash, there's such a din deraisa of Tosefta Shabbos, then it must precede the beginning of Shabbos, and it must begin precede the beginning of even a suffix beginning of Shabbos. So this is what makes things a little bit complicated. Because if we skip down just for a moment, actually we'll do the third Maram Kamos just right before we do the second Maram Kamos. The second is kind of building on the third. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos and the Nefi Yitzayim of Days has a long, long Mishnah, which the bulk of the Mishnah actually discusses Shitas Beis Shammai, a view that we don't accept. Beis Shammai has a unique Shita where Beis Shammai of the opinion that I'm not allowed to start a Malacha on Friday afternoon, even though the Malacha is really was set up on Friday. I did my action on Friday, but the Malacha continues into Shabbos. That's my problem, even on the level of Deraisa. To such an extent that according to the view of Beis Shammai, the Mishnah says, let's say I want to set up a trap on a Friday afternoon, and it's not going to trap the animal till Shabbos comes, till Shabbos begins. So Beis Shammai says that's a problem, that I can't even set up the trap on Friday because I'm doing something that's causing malacha to be done, and especially because the malacha is actually being done with my kelim, with my utensils. That's called shvisas kelim. That's a huge problem, min haTorah, according to the view of Beis Shammai. And then Beis Shammai gives many, many examples of this kind of a scenario of doing things on Friday where I basically finished my input and the malacha happens by itself. So every single case, Beis Shammai says, this is a problem, that's a problem, this is a problem, that's a problem. Beis Shammai say, for example, I can't soak my flax on Friday afternoon. The malacha is going to go into Shabbos. And I can't start cooking my dye on Friday afternoon because it's going to go into Shabbos, and I can't set up the animal. Everything is a problem according to Beis Shammai. And the Mishnah says, Hakol Mikol Kol, at the end of the Mishnah, in the third of the Maram Kamos, Ubekulan Beis Hillel Matirin Im HaShemesh. With all of the above, all of the activities that Beis Shammai said are problematic, Beis Hillel says, nah, they're all okay. Beis Hillel Matirin Im HaShemesh. What does that mean? Beis Hillel will say that whenever you want to do something on Friday, very, very simple. Look up in the sky. If you still see the sun, you can do whatever you please. According to Beis Shammai, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun's going for another 5 hours. Beis Shammai says you got to close your traps and take your dye out and take your flax out and stop everything because if you don't stop things now, Gaval, Keshrig, and Malach is going to happen into Shabbos. Beis Hillel says, look in the sky, you see the sun, whatever you want to do. We're like so far removed from that notion of looking into the sky, to look at the sun, to see. You know, we have a new version of Zman Hayom. It's called looking up my Zmanim, checking on your phone, you know, checking the computer. You know. It's a whole different way of calculating Zmanim. Zman is that. Nobody bothers looking at the sky. I've told over the story before. I remember I was once in Rosh HaNikra. It was late in the day. We wanted to see sunset. We'll see Shkia. At the overlooking the Mediterranean, I've looked at Rosh Hashanah. No one has ever seen that. It's a very, very beautiful, inspiring scene. So I remember there were a couple of fellows there, and they hadn't daven mincha yet. And they were standing looking at the beautiful, watching you know, the sun getting ready to set. And one of them says, oh, we're pulling mincha. We didn't daven mincha yet. Gevalt, what time is Shkia? So I remember one saying, Shkia yesterday, B'nai Brak was. And they were arguing about what time Shkia was. I thought, look how far we've come. He said, you're watching the sun. Shkia is when you can't see the sun anymore. That's what you're watching. And they didn't. It's so far removed from our mindset. I was laughing at myself. You know, this was already 10 years ago, the story. I was laughing at myself the other night. I was standing inside my house, standing maybe a foot away from the door. Whatever it was, maybe a foot away from the door. And somebody asked me, one of my kids asked me, is it raining outside? So I said, wait 1 second. I'm standing by the door And what did I do? I instinctively pressed on my phone weather to see what's the weather in Bergenfield rather than opening up the door and seeing whether it's raining outside. So this is the world. This is what we've become so accustomed to doing. So, but in the good old days, back in the days of the Mishnah, Beis Hillel Matir HaShemesh, you looked at the sky, you see the sun, and you're good to go. So that statement of Beis Hillel seems to be telling us that Kol Zman, you can see the sun, you could do whatever you want. It means you could do whatever malacha you want. You don't have to worry about Shabbos, and presumably you don't have to worry about Tosefa Shabbos either, because Beis Hillel says Matir HaShemesh. So Kol Zman, you can see the sun, you're good to go. So wait a second. If Kol Zman, you can see the sun, you can do whatever you please, and there's no halacha at all that's restricting any malacha, zero. Kol Zman, you see the sun, then obviously what the mitzvah Tosefa Shabbos must mean is that the mitzvah Tosefa Shabbos must mean if you can no longer see the sun. Because the Beis Hillel Matir HaShemesh, Kol Zman, you can see the sun, you can do whatever you want. So what happened to Tosefa Shabbos? Obviously, by default, Tosefa Shabbos must be after the sun can no longer be seen. Wait a second. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, after the sun can no longer be seen, that's what we call Benash Mashos. That's what we call Shkia. And after the sun sets, that begins Benash Mashos. Benash Mashos is already a suffix. It's a derived suffix Skila. I can't do Malacha at that point. I don't need Tosefa Shabbos for that. Tosefa Shabbos is for before there's any latest suffix that is Shabbos already. But now we're in a little bit of a pickle. We don't have a time on the clock to pinpoint when this grandiose mitzvah Tosefa Shabbos is taking place. On the one hand, we have a Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes that say the Tosefa Shabbos as a mitzvah deraisa, then from Yom Kippur, everything's great, wonderful. And therefore, everyone should be starting Shabbos at 7 o'clock and start Shabbos an hour early. We should be doing it in the summer. We should be doing it in the winter. We should be starting Shabbos at 2:30 in the afternoon. Everything, what Tosefa Shabbos, right? And now we're taking a step back, scratching our head, and asking us, wait a second, when is this mitzvah exactly supposed to happen? It can't be happening before the sun sets, because Beis Hillel says Matir HaShemesh. It can't be happening after the sun sets, because after the sun sets, isn't that already Ben HaShemeshos? If that's already Ben HaShemeshos, so then, of course, I can't do Malacha then. That's Sufagis at Deraisa. So we're mamish in checkmate. We don't have a time on the clock to put this mitzvah. What in the world did Chazal mean? Mitzvah Lahaisa B'Chalakadish, Mitzvah Deraisa B'Chalakadish. When? Before the sun sets. It doesn't exist. If the sun sets, too late for it to exist, when is the mitzvah? So this is not my gosh, it is the kasher that the Rishayim are bothered with. And the Ramban dealt with this question, but in order to understand the Ramban's teretz, we have to go back now to the second Ramban Kermis Tosis, because the Ramban is basing his teretz on a statement of Rabbeinu Tam. So comes Tosis and Pesachim, and Aleph, those who, the Daf Yomi, not that long ago, the Gemara was discussing about the different times of the day and into the night as to how much a person can walk, how far a person walk at a regular pace, how far you can walk within any given of window of time. So Rabbi Yudah Mishkiyas HaCham HaTzeis K'cham Arba Milin. So the Gemara makes a statement that from the time the sun sets until the stars come out, that's 4 milin. Now, a mil is a distance of 2,000 amos. We're going to use a number of which according to some Rishonim is the correct number, according to others is not the correct number. We're going to use it only because it makes for simple math, and that is the number of 18 minutes. That's the number that we're used to when we speak about a mil. So Rabbi Yehuda says, from the time the sun sets until the stars come out, that's 4 milin, which means 18 times 4, that means 72 minutes. So it sounds like that's the time of Ben HaShemeshos, because Ben HaShemeshos, the Gemara in Shabbos describes as the time between the sun setting and the stars coming out. So if in Pesachim, the Gemara is telling us that amount of time on the clock is the amount of time it takes a person to walk 4 milin, and a mil is 18 minutes. So basically what Chazal is telling us is that Ben HaShemeshos lasts for 72 minutes. So comes to us and says, Kashler Ben HaTam. The Besofu Ben Madlikin, Omar Ezu Ben HaShemeshos, Mishad Ishak HaCham HaChozman Shabrem Be Mizuch Madimun Devrib Yehuda. The Gemara gives us more of a physical, astronomical way of describing Ben HaShemeshos. The Gemara quotes a Brisa that says the Ben HaShemeshos lasts after the sun sets as long as the eastern sky is still a little bit red. There was a whole discussion. Does the Gemara mean literally the eastern sky? Does the Gemara mean the western sky facing the eastern sky? As we know, even after the sun sets, it's still a little bit red in the sky. You can still get a little bit of the rays of the sun. So Maskinin Hasa, the Gemara concludes the Ben HaShemeshos Rabbi Yehuda Tlosa Rivimil. The Gemara concludes that within the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that the amount of time in a clock of Enesh Roshos is the amount of time that it takes to walk 3/4 of a mil. We just said before that a mil is 18 minutes. 3/4 of a mil is 13 and a half minutes. So now you have a big discrepancy. But Hachakam Rabbi Yehuda Gufi Abba Milan says Rabbi Natan, we have to make up our mind. How long is Menesh Mashos? Is Menesh Mashos 72 minutes, like the Gemara Pesachim describes? Mishkiyav Yatzei says 72 minutes, 4 milin. Or is Menesh Mashos significantly shorter, 13 and a half milin, like the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos seems to say? Rabbi Yehshloimar, so Tosis quotes the name Rabbi Natan. The Hachakam Mitchila Shkiyah Dan Mishah Shemitchelas Achamali Kalis Bovir Akiyah. And a laila vidal milin also called himself shkia. So comes a bit of time and says, almost like a brisket teretz, there are bay shkias, there are two shkias. The sun sets twice. It doesn't mean what it sounds like. It doesn't set, come back up and go down. That's not what happens. But what Rabbi Natan means is as follows, that how do you define exactly what the term shkia sachama means? So shkia means it's going down to the depths. So what exactly does that mean? So you can really understand that in one of two ways. Either you can understand that as referring to the ball of the sun, means I'm standing and looking over the horizon, I'm standing by the ocean, and I'm watching the sun go down. I'm rushing on the ground, watching the sun go down, 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 down. And now the ball of the sun dips beneath the horizon. That's one possible meaning of the word shkia sechama. Another possible meaning of the word shkia sechama may mean that the ball of the sun is long gone, but the light of the sun is still very visible. If you look in the west, 5, 10, 15 minutes after Shkia, you will still see light. You'll still see red. You'll see those reddish, if it's a nice, beautiful day, you have those reddish, pinkish, and orangey kind of colors. So it could take quite some time before all that light that the sun is giving off has been Shkia, as the sun has dipped so far beneath the horizon that even that light is no longer visible. So it could be that Shkia Sacham have a very, very different meaning. So that's what Ben Tam seems to say, that the word Shkia means different things in different contexts. The Chazal used the same term Shkia Sachama to mean two different things. Sometimes Shkia means the setting of the ball of the sun. Sometimes Shkia means the setting, the complete, almost like the complete disappearance of any remnant of the sun's light. And that's much, 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 much later. So on any given night, says Rabbi Natan, what happens is first the sun, the ball of the sun itself sets. Says Rabbi Natan, from a pure halachic vantage point, that's a meaningless statement. Nothing really happened. It's still day. It's still considered to be Yom Gomer, even though the sun has already set, says Rabbi Natan. When does halachic day end? It ends at the second Shkia Sechama. At that time is when Ben Hashmashos begins, and then a short time later, Laila comes, Tzeiskecham comes, and that's the absolute beginning of night. So according to Rabbi Natan, let's say, for example, if you would check on your phone what time Shkia is, so I think Shkia today was what we call 7:29, on the phones they give you the astronomical sunset, when the ball of the sun dips beneath the horizon. So at 7:29, says Rabbi Natan, it's still halachli yom. And at 7:30, it's also yom. And at 7:40 and 7:50 and 8:10, it's still yom, according to Rabbi Natan. At what point does Ben Hashmashos begin? So here we have to do a little bit of backwards math. So says Rabbi Natan, the Gemara says that 13 and a half minutes is Ben Hashmashos. That is the halachic Ben Hashmashos. That means it takes 13 and a half minutes from the second Shkia, which is the end of halachic day, Misafik, until the stars come out, halachically, it takes 13 and a half minutes. So what in the world does the Gemara Pesachim mean when it says there are 4 milin, there are 72 minutes from Shkia to Tzeis? That means from the first Shkia, which is not halachically all that important, from the first Shkia, from the time that the sun dips beneath the horizon, the ball of the sun dips beneath the horizon, until the stars come out, and we can say with certain that it's night, that is a total of 72 minutes. So if you do your math now backwards, you'll realize that from the first Shkia to the second Shkia is 58 and a half minutes, because 58 and a half minutes is the first part. Then the second Shkia arrives, which kicks in this Mana Ben Hashmashos. And then for the next 13 and a half minutes, it's Safek Yom, Safek Laila. And then finally, 72 total minutes from the beginning of the original sunset is what we call Laila according to Rabbeinu Tam. Now again, I'm using those numbers 1872 just for convenience. Those numbers are not necessarily written in stone, but for our purposes, it just makes it easy rather than starting to confuse us with more calculations. So bottom line is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what we usually call in Halacha Shkia, we're used to thinking it was called Shkia, is not really Shkia. I mean, it is a Shkia, but it's not the really important Shkia. Says the Ramban, according to Rabbeinu Tam, now all the Gemaras make sense about the mitzvah of Sefer Shabbos. Why is that? Says the Ramban, which means If you want to do malacha on Friday afternoon, look up at the sky. If you see the sky, you see this, I'm sorry, you see the sun, you're watching the sun, you can still see the ball of the sun, do whatever you please. It's not Shabbos, it's not Sofik Shabbos, it's not even Tosefta Shabbos. When does Tosefta Shabbos begin? When Mesila Matir Mashemesh, Kol Zman could see the sun, everything's great. If you can't see the sun anymore, now you should really get busy trying to fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos. It's after the sun, the ball of the sun is no longer visible, then and only then does the mitzvah deraisa of Tosefta Shabbos begin to kick in. So now, according to the Ramban and Rabbi Nadav, at least we have a window, at least we have a time on the clock, at least we know when we can discuss this mitzvah. Before the sun goes down, before the ball of the sun goes down, that's too early. That's like Tuesday. That's before, that's like Friday morning. That doesn't count. That's not a mitzvah. After Ben Hashvashos begins, 58 and a half minutes after that, I don't need Tosefta. That's a Sufik deraisa. The mitzvah is for those first 58 and a half minutes. That's the mitzvah to Sefer Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, we've discovered a mitzvah to Sefer Shabbos. The Ramban then goes on to say, does it mean you have to make all 58 and a half Shabbos? No. The Gemara never says that. Chayav on the Hosef HaKol. Chayav on the Hosef HaKol HaKodesh. Says the Ramban, Ratza Osa Kula Shabbos. Ratza Osa Mitzvah Shabbos. You have to make part of it into Shabbos. You have to begin Shabbos at some time in that window of 58 and a half minutes. You don't have to do the entire thing, but you have to do at least part of it. That is the mitzvah deraisa. So according to the Ramban, each of the sugyas of Makom, we have a Bisholom. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is correct. There's a mitzvah to Sefer Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos Yedzayin, the Mishnah that says, Matir Mashemesh makes sense. There's no Tosefta till the sun goes down. The Gemara is in Pesachim of Tzadi Dalin. The Gemara is in Shabbos and Andaf Lama Dalin. Don't contradict each other. There are two shkiyas. Everything is Gemara. Everything is one. Comes the Vilna Gaon and comments that this is all great, assuming that Rabbeinu Tam's theory is correct, that there are two shkiyas, the Chazal were referring to two different shkiyas. Comes the Vilna Gaon and says, if you look at other Rishayim, such as the Gaonim, the Vilna Gaon was a Gaon, but it wasn't from the Gaonim. The Gaonim were 1,000 years before. So the Gaonim, the Rif, the Rambam, did not accept this entire notion of Beis Shkiyas Lahod V'Miyam. The whole thing is non-existent. There's one Shkiyah, one Shkiyah alone, and that's where the sun sets, the ball of the sun sets. At that moment in time is called Sufik Shabbos. That's called Ben Hashmashos. That is the key. That's it. When does Tesek Yechavim come? Like the Gemara says in Shabbos, 13 and a half minutes later. So what in the world is the Gemara Psachamim when it says it takes 4 mil, takes 72 minutes till Tzeis Kechavim? So the Gemara says what that means is that until the sky is full of stars, Tzeis Kalei Kechavim, like the planetarium, until it's loaded with visible stars, it's going to take a long time until it gets really, really pitch black outside. But for halachic purposes, that 72 minutes is not relevant, says the Gemara. Because for halachic purposes, the shear is 3 Kechavim. Tzeis Gimel Kechavim in Enim. 3 regular-sized, middle-sized stars, that's the shear of Tzeis Kechavim la'halacha. So says the Gra, everything starts when the sun dips beneath the horizon, unlike Rabbeinu Tam, who says nothing starts then. According to the Gra, everything starts then. 13 and a half minutes, the game is over. It's already Tzeis Kechavim. What happens later in the planetariums, in the skies, with stars, and the stargazes, that's lomal ha'lomar, that's not relevant la'halacha. So comes the Gra and says, according to me, I'm in a big pickle. Because according to me, I'm back to square one, back to the Kash of the Ramban. So Taka, when is Ben Hashmashos? When is the Sefer Shabbos, according to the Gra? It can't be after Shkia, that's already too late, it's already suffering. It can't be before Shkia, because before Shkia, they still have Tirim HaShemesh. They still will say, you're allowed to look up at the sky, you see the ball of the sun, do whatever you want, there's no mitzvah. So according to the Ramban, Rabbeinu Tam, we solve the dilemma when the Sefer Shabbos is. But according to the Gra, who's representing the Shita Sagain and Riffin and Rambam, when is there a mitzvah? You know what the Gra says? The answer is in Achanami. There is no mitzvah. Says the Gra, it's a machlekes atanoim. Is there a mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos or not? Yes, it's true. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Taftes quoted a Braisa. I'm not arguing with that. But Braisa is arguing against the Mishnah Shabbos Taf Yud Zayin. Which Mishnah? It's still a Matir Mashemesh. Says the Gra, that unless you go down the route of Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban, that other Rishonim, for technical reasons, did not go down, there is no time to place that mitzvah, and therefore that mitzvah ceases to exist. There never was, never is such a mitzvah. So according to the Gra, we discovered the Gemara that argues with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and we just also discovered that we're most likely going to paskin like that other sugya in Chazal, because the other sugya is a Stam Mishnah and Shabbos. If you have a choice between paskining like a Stam Mishnah and Shabbos against the Braisa tucked away in Rosh Hashanah Daftas, it's really not that difficult to figure out halakha Stam Mishnah. 99% of the time we follow the Stam Mishnah. So Bida Nasi, by writing a Mishnah in a Stam, is indicating to us that this is the prevalent view. This is the seems to be the majority view. Just because you have a Braisa tucked away in Rosh Hashanah Daftas doesn't mean we're going to paskin like that Braisa. But the Gra, one fell swoop, said, because there's no time for Tosefes Shabbos practically on the clock, because we can't accept a minute of time in the Ramban, there's no time for it, therefore it doesn't exist, and therefore we paskin against the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daftas. Now, the Gra, the Gra doesn't need my approval, but even the Gra probably would have been weary to make such a statement without having Rishon to back him up. Says the Gra, I have a Rishon to back me up. The Rishon is the Rambam. The Rambam, the last of the Mamakamos. The old place where the Rambam quotes explicitly the mitzvah of Tosefes happens not to be by Shabbos altogether. Not even by Yom Tov. The Rambam, all the Shabbos, all the Shabbos doesn't make mention of the mitzvah of Diraisa Tosefes. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam, the fourth of the Rambam, comes in Hilchos Shvi'is also, which is the Din of Yom Kippur. So the Rambam writes, "Kishem Shishvus Bimlocha Bo Bein Biyom Bein Belayla Kach Shvus Deinu Bein Biyom Bein Belayla." There's a mitzvah to refrain from doing Malacha and Yom Kippur by day and by night. There's a mitzvah to refrain from Inui from eating and drinking, etc. on Yom Kippur by day and by night. And you have to begin Yom Kippur early, and you have to begin end Yom Kippur late. Shenema v'nisa v'stav shaseichem v'tish l'chosh berev. Kloima, haschil latzuv l'sanoz, you have to begin to fast and afflict yourself with the other inuyim. Me'erev tisha hasamach l'sirin. And the ninth in the afternoon, late in the day, right before the 10th, v'chein b'yitzi, at the end of the 10th as well, sho b'inuyim ha'at melele achadas hasamach l'sirin. You hold on to the inuy for a little bit. Shenema me'erev ad erev. You have to continue and be. So the Rambam did not quote this concept by Shabbos or by Yom Tov. Says the Gra, I'll tell you why, because he held it wasn't true by Shabbos or by Yom Tov, because of the question of Matir Mim HaShemesh. Hi, but it's a pasuk in Chumash, Betish L'Chodesh. What does the Rambam do with that pasuk? So the Gra says very simple. The Rambam held that all the other Tanoi who argue on the Gemara, the Braise and Rosh Hashanah Daftas, do accept the pasuk as referring to Tosefes, but they argue with the Braisa, and that the Braisa assumed that from Yom Kippur we derive to all other Shabbos and Yom Tovim, and the Rambam says we don't paskin that way. We paskin it's a din prati by Yom Kippur. It's a unique din, localized din by Yom Kippur. It is no application outside of Yom Kippur. There's no mitzvah deraisa to be mostly b'chol kodesh and Shabbos and Yom Tov. Says the Gra, bring your raya mineu bay from the Rambam himself. When the Rambam quotes the din on Yom Kippur, the Rambam doesn't say to refrain from Alochan on Erev Yom Kippur. The Rambam says, Kloima hitchel atzuvlis anis me'erev tisha. The Rambam doesn't say a word about refraining from Alochan. Why? The Rambam holds that it's not only is it not a din of Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's not even a din of the entire Kiddush Tayyam of Yom Kippur. It doesn't even impact the Nuchas Malochan Yom Kippur. It's a quirk, it's a special din prati only for the Ini, for the Tzoyim. The tightness of Yom Kippur has to begin early, the tightness of Yom Kippur has to end late. But the rest of the Kiddush Sayyim doesn't have to begin early, doesn't have to end late. Shabbos, Yom Tov, none of that is true. It's not a din of Kiddush Sayyim. It's a din of Inui, it's a din of mitzvah tightness. When the Torah gives us the mitzvah tightness, tightness begins early and ends late. So we have now a major, major machlokes, have you shown him? Major machlokes at poskim. Is there a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos? Does the mitzvah even begin? Is there even anything to talk about? So according to Rabbi Tam and the Ramban, who paskin like the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, of course there's a mitzvah to set it's a stamba, it's a braisa, Rosh Hashanah test. We accept the lalocha, we have to reckon with it, we have to try to figure out how to fulfill it every week. According to the Rambam and the Gra, there's no such mitzvah. It was completely outvoted. It's a das yochad Rosh Hashanah test, not accepted lalocha. So this machlokes Rosh Hashanah now sets the stage for us about the quote-unquote early Shabbos. So Bishlam, according to Rabbi Tam and the Ramban, we can fathom the concept of starting Shabbos early, even though it's not really Shabbos yet, but at least Tosefes Shabbos it is. Because according to the Rambam, according to the Gra, what's going on? What are we doing exactly? When we're quote-unquote making Shabbos, what do you mean you're making Shabbos early? What halachic principle are you invoking to make Shabbos early? There's no such thing as making Shabbos early. But the whole concept, the whole mitzvah of Shabbos it doesn't exist. By Yom Kippur, it makes sense. You want to make Yom Kippur early Gengis a day, that's fine. You want to make Shabbos a Yontif early, based on who, based on what? So we still have a lot of work cut out for us. So what we accomplished tonight was at least just to give really, really the background to the sugya, the very institution of making Shabbos early is still subject to question. Those who plan on making Shabbos early this week, don't worry. You can still make Shabbos early. But at the end, by the time we finish a series of shiurim, we'll realize why it's okay. But for now, this whole making Shabbos early is not boding very well for us. Sounds like going to summer shana, maybe we can swallow it. With others, we're not quite sure what it's all about. So for Mitzvah Shem next week, we'll try to continue along the lines with how this plays out for us, the institution of the making Shabbos early, and all the challenges and obstacles that we have to face if one wants to go down this route of the making Shabbos early option.
Shkar, Rabbi, thank you.
Yeah, good night. Good night, everyone.